The following is a Sunday feast lecture on the Bhagavad Gita as it is. Chapter number 7, text number 23, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasathikari, recorded on November 6th, 2016, in Tallinn, Estonia.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Antavattu palam desham tadvavat yalpa medesam devan deva yajo yanti mad bhakta yanti mamapi. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Men of small intelligence worship the demigods, and their fruits are limited and temporary. Those who worship the demigods go to the planets of the demigods, but my devotees ultimately reach my supreme planet. Those who are after material desires, they worship the demigods. But this is actually less intelligent, because the demigods are not the actual providers of our necessities. They're simply agents on behalf of the Supreme Lord. Supreme Lord is the actual supplier of everything. So why worship a middleman when you can go to the actual person who's the source of everything? You see? Just like in India, they have it's a very popular system called bribery. You bribe the government officials, you see, for what you want. You bribe the government officials. Bribery.
Yeah.
In the U.S., we just pay our tax. I don't know about Estonia, but in the U.S., you just pay your taxes to the government, and that's it. Business, you don't go around bribing the government officials to get things done. So to the demigod worship is like bribery to government officials. It doesn't make any sense. Just like on your material body, for example. Every part of your body requires nutrition. Your ear requires nutrition. Your toe requires nutrition. Your nose requires nutrition. So how do you get nutrition to all your bodily parts? Do you smear the prasadam on your ear, on your nose, and on your toe? How do you... You get your nutrients to all the bodily parts by feeding the belly. It's a very simple process. So sometimes we make the mistake of thinking we have to worship someone else besides the Supreme. The Brijavasis also made this mistake. They were thinking Indradev is supplying all this water. All these clouds, they're simply representatives of Indradev. So we better worship Indradev, you see. So they arranged a big yajna for to worship Indradev. But Krishna objected. He actually convinced them to not do the Indra yajna, and to instead worship Govardhan Hill. And during so they did that. They stopped the worship for Indra. They worshipped the Govardhan instead. And then Krishna revealed that actually he is Govardhan himself. So Krishna established there's no need to worship the demigods, just worship the Supreme Lord. That's all you have to do. So Krishna assumed the gigantic form of Govardhan. And he was eating all the foodstuffs the Vrijavasis had brought. And no matter how much they brought, he still wasn't satisfied. He kept singing, "Bring more, bring more, bring more, bring more. Aniyor, aniyor, aniyor." It's called aniyor. As you say, in that language, it's aniyor. So now, if you go to Govardhan Parikrama, you see there is a village called Aniyur. That village is named after the Leela of Krishna. 5,000 years ago, you see. And Krishna was saying, "Bring more, bring more. Aniyur, Aniyur, Aniyur." So we should learn from this Govardhan Leela. We should only worship Krishna, nothing else. When you water the root of the tree, all the leaves and branches are nourished. When you feed your belly, every single part of your body is nourished. But instead, we foolishly worship so many other things. We foolishly worship so many other things besides the Supreme. What is the number one object of worship? What is the number one object of worship? We worship ourselves. Yes, I am the Supreme. I am great. I am the center of the universe. This is called ahankara, a false ego. Everybody walks around tall and thinking like they're the Supreme, you see. And the whole world is going on in this madness. I'm thinking I'm the Supreme, you're thinking you're the Supreme. This way we're all dreaming. Actually, we're all in a dream state right now. You're thinking we're the Supreme. Actually, even the whole thing is a dream of Mahavishnu. We're living inside the dream of Mahavishnu, and in this dream we're having another dream. So this is the madness of our present day modern civilization. So somehow or other we have to come out of this madness. Just by meditating on this wonderful pastime of Govardhan Leela, you see, it purifies the mind. Nanda Maharaj argued in so many ways that no, we should do this sacrifice for Indra. And then Krishna made all the arguments, no, we should just worship Govardhan. And then Nanda Maharaj said, okay, we'll worship Indra and Govardhan both. And Krishna said, no, we have all the preparations made now. We should just worship, take all the paraphernalia and worship Govardhan with all that paraphernalia. So how the Govardhan Yajna was performed was actually done under Krishna's direction. He was the head pujari. He said, you should prepare very nice foodstuffs of all descriptions. From grains and ghee. Make rice. Make dal. Make halava. Pakoras. Puris and all kinds of milk preparations. Sweet rice.
Rubri.
Sweet balls. Sandesh. Rasagula. Ladu. He gave the whole menu, you see. Krishna gave the menu, what they should offer. Then you should invite all the learned brahmanas. They can chant the Vedic hymns and offer oblations into the fire. Then give the Brahmins all kinds of charity. Decorate the cows and feed the cows very nicely. And after the ceremony, give money to the Brahmins. And the dogs and the chandalas, they should also be given samsush prasadam. Even the dogs should be fed samsush prasadam, Krishna said. Just see, Krishna didn't even neglect the dogs. He wanted to make sure the dogs got prasadam. And then after, then the cow should be given very nice grass. So in this way, Krishna orchestrated this wonderful Govardhan puja. Of course, Indra became rather disturbed. He sent devastating the Sangvartaka cloud. He sent to devastate the whole scene. But for Krishna, no problem. He just lifted the hill like an umbrella. Can you imagine holding a huge mountain for 7 days on your little finger? Govardhan looks rather small now. But you know how big it was originally before the Palashtra Muni's curse started to act on it? Govardhan was 64 miles long, 40 miles wide, and 16 miles high. It made Mount Everest look like a little molehill in comparison. Mount Everest was just nothing compared to Govardhan. That's how big it was. So, of course, it had shrunk for some time after Palashtra Muni's curse. But still, 5,000 years ago, it was very big. You know how many people took shelter under it? You know how many cows and calves took shelter under Govardhan? We're talking millions. Govardhan was huge in those days. And Krishna had no trouble holding on his little finger. If I asked you to hold your little finger in the air for 7 days, you would, even holding your arm in the air with nothing on it, you'd go, oh. The cowherd men thought Krishna must be having some difficulties. So they took their cowherd sticks and they were helping to hold the mountain up. But after 7 days, the Indra backed off and Krishna lowered and let everybody out and they lowered the hill back to its position. And then Indra felt great remorse. He came there and offered his humble obeisances to Krishna, begging forgiveness for his offense. So the demigods, then they offered very, very opulent, elaborate worship to Krishna. And the cowherd boys couldn't really figure out what was going on. They were seeing this, they were hiding in the bushes watching this. All these strange-looking people offering this elaborate worship to Krishna, they were amazed. What is this going on? Is somebody with 1,000 eyes? Somebody came with 4 heads? They were amazed. What's going on here? And after the demigods left, and the cowherd boys took up all the paraphernalia, and they started doing their own puja of Krishna. And in a simple, not an opulent, a demigod way, but in a very simple village way, they worship Krishna. And Krishna liked that better, the way the cowherd boys did their worship. So these pastimes of Krishna, they're so attractive. In this material world, everybody wants to read the news, you know. Every day they get the newspaper, or the news magazine, or they go on the internet, you know, to see what is the latest news on the internet. But this news is very pale and insignificant news. Actually, it's just static. We're not interested in static news, we're interested in ecstatic news. The news of Krishna, that is ecstatic news. When you absorb yourself in the news of this mundane world, where does that absorption, mental absorption, take you? It takes you to another rotting body. But if you absorb yourself in the ecstatic news of Krishna, that takes you to an eternal form that never gets sick, it never gets old, and never dies. So, my dear ladies and gentlemen, you have a choice. You can take temporality, ignorance, and misery. Or you can take eternity, knowledge, and bliss. If you absorb yourself in the mundane news, you get temporality, ignorance, and misery. And if you absorb yourself in the Krishna news, then you get eternity, knowledge, and bliss. So which channel do you want to tune into? We all have a tuner within our consciousness, you see. We can tune in to the material energy or the spiritual energy. You have a choice at every minute. At every second, you are tuned in to either the material energy or the spiritual energy. Your choice. By tuning into the material energy, you are creating your next material body. And by tuning into the spiritual energy, you are awakening your eternal spiritual form, which is already there. So therefore, those who are actually intelligent and philosophically awakened, they train their minds how to always tune in to the spiritual energy. The pastimes of Krishna, the qualities of Krishna, the amazing descriptions of Krishna given in the revealed scriptures. It's like Lord Rama has so wonderfully described Krishna. Anganiya sakalendriya vritti manti pasyanti panti kalayanti charam jaganti ananda chinmaya sadujvela vigrahasya govindamadi purusham tamaham vajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, whose transcendental form is full of bliss, truth, substantiality, and is thus full of the most dazzling splendor. Each of the limbs of that transcendental figure. Possesses in himself the full-fledged functions of all the organs. And eternally sees, maintains, and manifests the infinite universes, both spiritual and mundane. Now that's got to be a pretty amazing person. Even in his fingernail, he maintains infinite universes. Even with one hair from his head, he maintains infinite universes. That person has got to be more bigger news than any of these cartoon characters that are strutting around on the planet Earth nowadays. The Trumps, the Obamas, the Putins, these are just cartoon characters compared to Krishna. The Trumps and the Putins, they're just cartoon characters. We need some expert linguists here. I mean, anybody can, you going to Russian? This is Russian? Is anybody a better Russian translator than this? He's missing so many words. Anybody can do a better job? You don't even know cartoon characters? Like a comic books.
Yeah, we know what is cartoons, but we don't know these cartoons' names.
So anyway, the so-called big names of this world, they're just a bunch of jokers. The big names of this world, they're just jokers, a bunch of rascals, you see? Duskritina namang mudha. Prapadyante naradama. Mayaya prithagyanam asuravam ashritaha. Those miscreants who are grossly foolish. You can look it up if you can't translate it. Who are grossly foolish, the lowest among mankind. This is in chapter 7. I'll help you out. Let's give you a verse here. Chapter 7, text number 15. Those miscreants who are grossly foolish, the lowest among mankind, whose knowledge is stolen by illusion, and who partake of the atheistic nature of demons, surrender to me. Do not surrender to me. So this is the caliber of persons who are leading this planet right now. It's like they're having an election on Tuesday in the U.S. for the president. And you have one Duskritina running against another Duskritina. Duskritina? The Sanskrit word. Right here, Duskritina. You have two Duskritinas running for office. So which Duskritina you want to work for, vote for? Either way, you got a Duskritina running the country, is it? You want to vote for this rascal? You want to vote for this rascal or that rascal? You see, that's our modern-day choices. We don't have any proper leaders on this planet right now. I'm telling you, we do not have any proper leaders on this planet right now. That's why my mission is that we should take over this world with Krishna consciousness. So we can have Krishna conscious prime ministers. Krishna conscious presidents, you see. One of you all can be the prime minister of Estonia, you see. You see, we need Krishna conscious people who don't want to kill babies, who don't want to kill cows, you see. Who actually respect the jiva soul present in every living entity. So we want to attract everybody to chant Hare Krishna. Because I can guarantee you this. When everybody becomes attracted to chanting Hare Krishna, They're not going to vote for these rascals anymore. You see? They'll simply ask, how many rounds do you chant? Are you following the four regular principles? You see? All right, I will vote for you for president. You see? That's what we need to come to on this planet. Otherwise, the whole thing is going to implode, if you can handle that one. Collapse on itself. The whole material society is going to collapse on itself. Because it is rotten to the core. Prabhupada is bringing purity back to the world. So by reading Prabhupada's books, by following Prabhupada's books, we can revolutionize this whole planet and bring true peace and prosperity to every man, woman, child, and animal, even the dogs on this planet. So I think we go up to 4 o'clock. 4 o'clock. Okay, we got 6 minutes left for questions. Any questions?
Maybe
4:15. Okay. All right. So we have time for questions. Our challenges. If you feel I'm speaking something incorrect, you can challenge me. Anyone have any questions? Here we go. Question.
If Govardhan was so big, how it could fit to Vrindavan?
How could it fit in Vrindavan?
How did it go to Vrindavan?
Oh, how did it get there? Palashta Muni was very powerful.
No, how Govardhan fit in Vrindavan?
How did it fit?
Yeah.
Krishna can do anything. Krishna has mystic power, he can do anything. No problem. Next question. Yeah.
India is so small, but there are so huge mountains like Himalayas to fit more than in Vrindavan is not difficult.
It's a piece of cake for Krishna, really. Krishna can fit a whole universe within the point of a needle. So the thing is, Govardhan, by the time Krishna arrived 5,000 years ago, it wasn't that big. It's been, ever since Palashta Muni cursed it, it's been shrinking by the size of one sesame seed every day. That psh, psh, down, down, down. So we don't have information on how big it was 5,000 years ago. But it could be calculated. You figure how tall is a sesame seed, then go and figure how many days there was since Krishna was here. You could figure out how tall. You could do a rough calculation how tall it was 5,000 years ago. Yeah. Any other questions? Yes.
How can one understand that soul is different from mind?
Different from
mind.
Mind, yes. How can you understand the soul is different from the mind? Well, one thing, the authoritative scriptures describe it as being separate. Your mind is constantly bouncing back and forth between this and that. But the soul remains constant. Do you ever change your mind? Yeah, you change your mind all the time. But do you ever change your soul? You see, your soul is unchangeable, but your mind is always changing. That's how you can understand the difference between the soul and the mind. One changes and the other does not. Next question. Vaiko. Bhakta Vaiko.
Today morning I was reading at the leading entity in the darkness of Kali Yuga, and then this powerful child is coming just by one call. A living entity, they start to study Vedas.
What is it?
Everybody is in the darkness of Kali Yuga, but when comes Acharya, everybody start to learn to study Vedas.
Everybody in
start to study Vedas
in the Satya Yuga.
No, in Kali Yuga.
But the point of this was just by one call. Yeah? But it sounded very bit like strange because we don't see it.
Then, David, you understand his question?
Yes, he says that when Kali Yuga began, then
the point was that there is like just by one call, all living entities they start to study Vedas, Vedic literature. Yeah? But it's just by one call.
One crore, which is 10 million.
One call. One call.
What is the word?
Call, C-A-L-L, call.
One call, okay, it sounded like crore. Yeah. One call, okay.
We cannot see.
By one call.
But everybody can stop studying Vedas, and when the Acharya comes, and everybody can restart.
No, that stops. They just start to study Vedic literature, just by one call.
Just by one call, everybody starts studying the Vedic literature.
That's Prabhupada's making the call, yes.
Prabhupada's call. It doesn't seem it's so simple, because by one call, everybody starts.
Actually, the call is coming from Lord Chaitanya. Jeev Jago, Jeev Jago. Goda Chandra Bole, Kotanija Jao Maya, Pisa Chira Kole. I can tell you this, Bhakta Vaiko. By that one call of Lord Chaitanya, the whole world is going to become delivered. It's going to happen. And I'll give you a proof from the Shastras. Let me translate.
Кали-югу все не верятся, но только по одному зову Ачарья они начинают изучать веды. Просто, что как так, вроде мы такого не видим. Ответ был в том, что Даша Пропада нас зовет, и на самом деле Господь Читания он нас зовет Джиб-джага. Что же Махарадж может доказать?
It is stated in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Sajjana Durjana Pangu, Jada Anagana, Premad Vanyayala Dubaila, Jagatada Jana. This Krishna consciousness movement is a prema tsunami. It will inundate the entire world and drown everyone. The pious, the impious, the lame, the invalid, blind, everybody come and drown in this ocean of Chaitanya's mercy. So from this one call of Lord Chaitanya, Jeev Jago, the whole universe is going to become awakened. It's going to take some time for it to unfold. There's a 10,000 year period within the Kali Yuga during which the whole universe will become inundated with Prema Bhakti. That call was made 500 years ago by Lord Chaitanya. That call has set into motion a spiritual revolution. Which is gradually picking up momentum and steam. More and more and more, and gradually it would completely inundate the whole universe. Everyone would become drowned in the ocean of Chaitanya's mercy. Now, if you don't believe it, just take birth after birth and you'll see it happening. Some of us are prepared to take birth after birth to make it happen. Because it's pretty exciting thing to see this movement take over the whole world. It's a very, very exciting adventure. I can absolutely guarantee you this. This Hare Krishna movement will take over the world within the next 10,000 years. Right now we're in the very early pioneering stages. We're planting the seeds right now. But it will in fact completely inundate the whole world. That one call is going to do it all. Jeev jago, goro chandra bole. Next question. Yes. Actually, he'll be bit by snakes. Yeah. Those who refuse to worship Govardhana will be bit by snakes. So make sure you worship Govardhana before you go home today. Okay, I just read it in the Krishna book. Yeah, Prabhupada says like that. There, Krishna declares. Here's the exact quote from Krishna book. Krishna declared at the meeting. One who neglects the worship of Govardhan Puja, as I am personally conducting it, will not be happy. There are many snakes on Govardhan Hill. And people neglecting the prescribed duty of Govardhan Puja will be bitten by these snakes and killed. Of course, we're not actually a Govardhan Hill, you know. So maybe you're not going to be bit by a snake if you don't worship Govardhana. But one thing is for sure, anybody who doesn't worship Govardhan, they will not be happy. That's a fact. So if you want to be happy, worship Govardhan. Next question. Yes. How to trust the intelligence and know that it's spiritual energy and not material energy? What is it?
How to start being intelligent.
How to start being intelligent.
Yes.
Okay, all right. You get intelligence by hearing from the spiritual master, by reading Prabhupada's books, and by begging Krishna to bless you with intelligence. If you will intensely absorb yourself in begging Krishna to give you intelligence, and you'll hear very submissively from the spiritual master and read Prabhupada's books in great submission, and then by the power of these entities, you will get very good intelligence. Intelligence is like a mother. And the mind is like a child. So if you can discipline your mind and keep it always absorbed in thinking Krishna consciously. That means your intelligence is properly functioning. If you can keep your mind always in Krishna consciousness, your intelligence is working properly. Your intelligence is the discriminating factor that can judge what is right and what's wrong. So if you judge right and wrong according to Prabhupada's books, and according to the instruction of the spiritual master, then your intelligence will be perfect. By faith in, by having faith in Guru, Sadhus, and Shastra, you'll have perfect intelligence. So how do you develop that faith? Hearing. You see? That's how you develop the faith. The more you go on hearing from the spiritual master and reading the books, then the faith becomes very strong, the intelligence becomes solid. With your intelligence, you can observe your mind. The intelligence asks, is my mind properly situated right now or not? The beauty of this thing is, the beauty of mind control is this. The beauty of mind control. When your intelligence is strong and you keep your mind properly fixed, then whatever you speak will be perfect. And your actions also will be perfect. So you just have to reject any kind of ideas or philosophy which are against the scriptures. Kick them out. Your intelligence cannot compromise with Maya even slightly. You have to make your intelligence like a razor, a sharpened razor. When you know something is wrong, you have to act on that understanding. If you know something is wrong and you do it anyway, then your intelligence never becomes strong. But when you know something is wrong and therefore you refuse to do it, then the more you do that, your intelligence becomes stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. So, this is the secret of how your intelligence will become very powerful. You know something is wrong? Don't do it. It's a matter of life or death. When you do something wrong, you're like cutting your own throat. But when you do what's right, then you're reviving your spiritual form. So it's your choice. You can cut your throat or revive your spiritual form, whatever you like to do. Krishna has given you the freedom. He doesn't want to force you to be his devotee. He wants you to develop the intelligence to do it on your own realization. Shreya, it is called Shreya, what is ultimately beneficial for the living being. Preya is what is immediately pleasurable, you see. Just like illicit sex, for example. In terms of immediate pleasure, it's fantastic. Wow, it feels so good to have sex, you know. Instant pleasure, wow, it feels so good, you know. That's called preya, you see. But Shreya is understanding, wait a minute, this is sending me down into the lower species of life. I can become a... If I remain addicted to sex pleasure, I'll become a pigeon in my next birth. I can have sex 50 or 60 times a day as a pigeon. Do I want to be a pigeon in my next birth? Those little birds out in the trees? No way. So you have to use your intelligence and realize, I can give up this pleasure of sex, you see, for the higher pleasure of reviving my lost or loving relationship with Krishna. And I'll let you know a secret here, you see. Hare Krishna is much better than sex. So who needs to have sex? You know, that's for animals, you know. You know, brahmachari is forever a kijai. I mean, even householders practice brahmachari. Real house, a grihastha practices brahmachari also. Householders who have sex without restriction, they're not grihastha, they're called grihamedi. A grihastha is also brahmachari. He only has sex for procreation once in a month. That's it, finished. So, you know, why torture yourself? Running after sense pleasure. It's stupid. It's less intelligent. It's like a moron, an idiot. Is it? Become intelligent. Paramahamsa, you see. Paramahamsa means the intelligent class, you see. So now we'll have the intelligence of worshipping the Lord. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai, Nittai Chaitanya Chandra ki jai, Śrī Śrī Rādhā Dāmodara ki jai, Govardhan Līla ki jai, Gaura Prema Nandi.